The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. So, Eric's here. Jordan's here. Devin's here. I like that camera shot of Eric in the middle. That's pretty sweet there, Devin.
Nice little Brady Bunch.
Look at that. That is... So, I don't know. What's going on today, guys? What is in your passion play today in the world of sports? What is it that is catching your guys' eye?
That baseball brawl from last night.
Do we have the brawl? Do we have the brawl or we have it later? You want to do it later? What do you think, Eric? You want to do the brawl?
We can do it now.
All right. So here's this brawl.
Said Devin.
Here's this brawl. And this was he's taking the bat at the guy.
The thing is, like, I've heard from ball players before, like, you can step out to get to the pitcher, but the catcher is going to slow you down. So he was just trying to take step one out of the equation. But I don't even think that this hitter got good swings on this guy.
Well, it's a former Diamondback. So
he's clearly not a switch hitter because he had to go from being left-handed to right-handed, and it did not go well.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit later.
And catchers are tough. Pitchers usually are not always tough. So I'm sure that catcher, I mean, the catcher sits back there and gets dinged with foul tips and gets hit on the back of the bat, you know, the helmet with bat. And then the catcher throws his glove.
The throwing the glove part never goes well.
No, and it just doesn't do much. It's like a NFL player throwing a punch to another NFL player who's wearing a helmet. Like, that does nothing.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll talk
where,
about
what, where was this?
This is a Mexico league.
Okay.
And so I saw it this morning. I figured we'd have a little bit of a playing games as to who it is and how this happened.
Well, it's a 13-1 game in the eighth inning, so shenanigans like this are always
possible.
Okay,
so this was in Venezuela, actually. And why don't you go ahead and show it one more time there, Devin, because I'll give it away rather than save it. Because it's good, but this is Alex Romero. Do you remember Alex Romero?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Alex Romero. That's a former Diamondback. So this will end up being on the evening news tonight. It'll end up on MLB Network. It'll end up in a lot of places.
It'll be on YouTube playlists. Best baseball fights.
Romero's 36. He took two hacks at Caribes catcher Gabriel Lino. Lino threw his glove at Romero. So the umps were able to calm things down, which I think is kind of funny. But they face fines and suspensions over this.
You could tell something like this was happening because the benches emptied so fast after that happened. Like, he hits him once, he hits him twice, then they go the wide shot, and look at how many players are already on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I say, you said why you would hope that there'd be suspensions. Like,
yeah.
How about, like, no, you're banned. I don't know. Taking a bat at somebody?
That's HD quality video, too.
It's pretty good.
Down in Venezuela, so.
It's pretty good.
I've always heard arguments from hitters, though, being like, the pitcher can literally kill me if he hits me in the right spot in the head. Like, he throws missiles. How am I supposed to retaliate? And he was using his weapon.
So that And if I was ever hit by a pitch and I was really upset, I would go to the mound with the bat.
You would?
Of course.
But then you
Because like
you
Jordan said, I mean, you're a sitting duck there in the batter's box.
Do you remember when Nolan Ryan got in his brawl?
Yes.
And he, like, rabbit
that,
punch?
That was Robin Ventura.
Ventura. Yeah.
It was rabbit punch. Rabbit punch.
I mean, that's probably the most famous baseball fight because you have all the photos of Ryan with Robin Ventura's blood all over his Rangers
jersey. I remember
the
Diamondbacks fight with the Giants where Randy put back on the Giants hat.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was good.
People were laughing at Randy and Randy Johnson, for those who may not know in the audience. So.
And the Diamondbacks and Dodgers will probably fight at some point this year. Or something will happen. Because that's
Are you guys excited for spring training?
Baseball.
We're in that space where because there is no there's no NFL with the Cardinals, the Suns continue to blow. The Coyotes are great. They play on the road tonight in Tampa. Does baseball hit yet, or is it still a few weeks away?
It's coming. I mean, it's one of those things where we're going to start getting the emails, and then in a couple weeks, a few weeks, it'll be, you know, some guys kind of starting to show up at the facility, and then around Valentine's Day, it's pitchers and catchers, and then boom, we're into spring training.
And I always feel like Waste Management Open, too.
Ooh,
in the Pro-Am,
yes.
There's a couple of Diamondbacks in there, so that kind of, I saw that Archie Bradley was on the course yesterday for Media Day, so you're starting to see some
yesterday?
Of those faces. I did not, know. I did not get that invite.
You didn't play either.
I don't play golf, unless it's top golf.
You
got
to get out there. I did not play either, and I saw that Archie was out there. I kind of grown up this year. I'm going to do less golf.
Why?
I don't
That's
know.
Where business is made.
Sometimes.
That's where you grow up?
Sometimes. I know, right? You guys are nitwits. So the John Beilein story.
Yes.
If you guys paid attention to – so do you remember – Eric, do you remember George McCorn?
No.
So when I first came to Phoenix – I was the Arizona State basketball color analyst. And it actually was a negotiating point between the radio station, KTAR, and myself about leaving Southern California was ASU basketball. I was just like, guys, I'm doing the play-by-play for ASU basketball. I don't want to give up being around college basketball. I love it.
You mean for San Diego State?
For San Diego State, yeah. For San Diego State.
I've heard this story a couple times, but continue.
And so, but we go back and forth. We finally agree to it. The radio station thought I was drunk because why would anybody care about ASU basketball? Well, I cared. Long story short, we go to New Mexico for a game, Tom Dillon and I, and ASU basketball. It's like a Friday night, Saturday night in Albuquerque. It was a late game on ESPN. Everybody's lit. Stuff's being thrown at the players. Players start to react in a way that was not impressive at all. And I just said, on the air, I said, I can't believe how they're acting. And people behind them were saying, get those thugs off the court. George McCorn called me a couple days later, and he was really, really mad at me. You know, George is no longer with us. But he was really mad at me. He says, I can't believe you called the players thugs. I said, I didn't call the players thugs. The fans were calling them thugs. And I said, that's what the fans were calling the players. Big difference.
Was he an assistant coach?
He was assistant with Frieder.
Okay.
He's here with Bill. And George was and Lynn Archibald, the great Lynn Archibald. And so the word thug, and I've heard it a couple different ways now that he tried to explain it away, that he was meaning to say another word. It didn't come out. Instead, it was thug.
He meant to say slug.
Slug.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So, which is the worst backpedal ever.
Yeah, and sometimes when it rains, it pours. I mean, the Cavaliers are horrible. The Beilein experience so far has been
Kevin Love's deal.
It's just a bad situation in Cleveland. Luckily, we have a much better situation here in Phoenix. No? Okay.
Are you guys in the Luka? They screwed up DeAndre. I mean, is it that obvious a year and a half in? Or are you still I'm still willing to say until Luka wins playoff games and finals, which he may. But everybody wants to bury DeAndre Ayton. And, yeah, so far he's buried himself. And so far it looks awful. But last time I checked, the Mavericks have done nothing except in the regular season. So that's where I'm at. And you can't go back and change history. But will this go down as one of the worst moves that the Suns have ever made? Are we at that point where you guys watch DeAndre Ayton and it's just uncomfortable?
I think it could. And that speaks more to Luka than it does DeAndre. But also, how many games has DeAndre Ayton played in year two after coming off a pretty darn good rookie year?
Underrated rookie year,
yeah,
in my
opinion. And
he was on a bad team,
yes, it was,
so nobody's paid attention
team.
I mean, his stats were not bad at all.
It was like 18 and 12.
Yeah,
and
but 18 and 12, it's like Devin Booker averaging 28 on a crappy team. And, you know, I don't care how many points Devin Booker averages. He's on a lousy team that never wins.
With the bad team, like, yes, I agree with you. But when you're a rookie,
yeah,
you want to show that skill set. You want to show what you can do. So I take a little more weight in the rookie numbers on a bad team.
He didn't block a lot of shots, though, either.
No, he didn't. But that was something we...
You're 7 foot.
That was something we potentially knew coming out of college. That, yeah, sometimes he's a matador on defense. And we haven't seen that elite defensive player that I think Suns fans have hoped for, but I'm not quite ready to be like, this was the world's biggest bust. Yes, it doesn't look good right
now. It's Sam Bowie right now. I mean, it is right now.
Give him the rest of the year, and I'm more comfortable making that call.
The other night, Eric, did you see them the other night?
Against who?
Sacramento?
No.
Up 21 in the third.
I did see that. I saw they got outscored like 36-16 in the fourth quarter or something ridiculous.
And it was almost
like
unwatchable
that.
In the first half. It was, had this great run.
So my point is, I've been on this side of the street that eventually there's going to come a game where Devin Booker is going to be sitting in front of his locker and he's going to say something like, yeah, I don't know how much longer I want to be here.
He should. He should. No one here would blame him for saying that. Yeah. No one.
And the fact that he's a year and a half into a $160 million extension, it's coming. Because what we're seeing out of the organization, this isn't directed at Monty, it's Groundhog Day. It doesn't matter who you put in there. Things just seem to fall apart. They don't seem to work well together. So there's something going on internally over there. Or does it come to a point where Robert starts to screw around with Monty? Does it get to that point and James Jones? Because, look, you got to have three guys. You have to have three guys to win, right? I mean, if you have – so Ricky Rubio, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. Those are three, right? I mean, people say Kelly Oubre is – it feels like a mismatch of players. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes.
I think the one thing – we talk a lot about Luka and Ayton and did the Suns miss and how great is Luka. Trae Young is an unbelievable NBA basketball player who gets very, very – not little love – but I think Luka is just—he's just such a magnet. Trae Young had a 40-point triple-double last night. He's a really good passer. He's a little bit of a liability on defense, but he's another person in that draft class that I just don't think people talk enough about.
No, I would agree with you on that. I think the Hawks are in a space where Detroit's the worst team in the NBA right now, and if Atlanta—I've heard Atlanta's trying to get Drummond out of Detroit.
Yep.
So if they are able to go that direction and start to build up with assets, over here there's some nice parts, but man, it's like a VW into a Ford into a Hyundai. It's just all over the place here, and I just don't know how they're going to pull themselves out of it. I saw some stuff early in the season, and now it's just like, okay, I'm ready for spring training. Yeah, so we're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. As you get older, things happen around you and you start to wonder, okay, if I didn't come home tonight, would the house be paid off? Would the cars be paid off? Would this be paid off? Would the college fund be in place? And you can accomplish all that with life insurance. You can even use life insurance to take care of your funding for your kids and their college. There's lots of things with life insurance, not just if you're not here anymore. All right, so log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote online at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. I'm excited to have Jimmy Vaccaro back with us, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director with the NFL playoffs into week two. That is next. Stay with us. So here in the new year, something I've been very much looking forward to is hearing the voice of Jimmy Vaccaro. While I was out dealing with my son, my own injury stuff, I had gotten away from doing the weeklies, being on the show for many, many months, and everybody filled in and did great. It's great to have Jimmy Vaccaro back with us, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director, with the Wild Card Weekend behind us, divisional round NFL playoffs. Jimmy, thanks for coming on. How are you?
First of all, how have you been? Good to hear your voice again. I want to tell you, I had your booth set up. I had your coffee shop ticket set up. Everything was set up, and you were a no-show. But
you can
double up this summer.
Come on. How about March? I'll do that in March. I'll come up for Pac-12 tournament and WAC tournament if you want me. I'd love to come back.
Done deal.
I'd love to come back.
Done deal, my friend.
All right. Let's so the games last weekend were terrific. They were all over the place. And so let's go through this Saturday, 2:30 Arizona time, Minnesota at San Francisco. If you fans are going to head up to Vegas, you go to the South Point Casino Resort, you say hi to Jimmy. Minnesota at San Francisco, what's the view up there in Vegas, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, I mean, this football, they can't get enough of it. Last week was an absolute avalanche with people coming out for the first round of the wild card playoff. And this week, it's the same thing, Brad. Right now, 49ers here at the South Point. We owed them 6.5, and there was early money on the 49ers. We're at 7, total 44.5. But I remember last week, right at the last hour, against the Saints, the Vikes come with a lot of people. We had one ticket for $110,000 on the Vikes. So it was like a split decision with the early game last week, but RBC Now, 49ers -7. We'll have tons of teaser action on the 49ers -1, but I can't wait to look till they kick off, my friend.
Tennessee at Baltimore, the late game on Saturday.
Opened at 8.5, up to 9, was as high as 9.5. Then we got to 9.5. There was some Tennessee money. Obviously, a lot of people were kind of like the dog that I talked to, simply because they think Tennessee can run the ball a little bit and eat up some clock. But right now, Baltimore 9-47.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort with us. Houston, Kansas City, early game on Sunday.
Yeah, the most money so far on the favorite has been on the Chiefs. We opened at 8.5. We're as high as 9.5, pretty close to going to 10, but we didn't. And we're right now we're at 9.5 total, 51, which is the highest of the four games also. So, you know, if you're looking to bet the Texans, you might want to wait. You might want to try to wait to see if you get plus 10, which is a very, very, very important number in the NFL. But right now, 9.5, 51, Chiefs are the favorite.
There's been some talk in Green Bay about the weather. I think it's the most intriguing of the four games, Seattle at the Packers late Sunday.
Well, there's a lot of people that I obviously, you know, talk to, and we're part of the same, you know, this racket we've been in all our life. So when we talk, it's obviously it's nuts and bolts. And getting to this game, the Packers, a lot of us think that they're not as good as their record was for the entire year. And Seattle done a marvelous job with all the injuries. We opened the game Packers -3.5. Me and Chris liked it a little bit lower, but immediately we went to 4, and we're still there. Pack -4, total 47. You know, this Russell kid, he's pretty damn good. But, you know, you're going up against Aaron Rodgers. But let me tell you one thing. Does look like any bad weather, except it looks like it's going to be very cold.
Good stuff as always, Jimmy. Appreciate good to have you back on and hearing your voice. Thanks.
All right, my friend.
Take care of Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort. You saw him a couple weeks ago. You were up there over the holiday break?
I did. Yep, I did. I went up for the Las Vegas Bowl because it's become an annual tradition. A tradition that will end because the Las Vegas Bowl will no longer be played at Sam Boyd Stadium.
None of us are crying
on
over that.
On the outskirts of Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's closer to Kingman, it feels
it's
like.
It's not close. But, yeah, it was good. I saw Jimmy.
He's the best.
I made a couple donations to his casino.
Didn't work out?
As I like to do. No, it rarely does. But
yeah,
it was good to see him.
We should go up there for Pac-12, huh?
I like that trip, yes. That's fun.
Yeah, we will do that.
It's a fun work trip.
Yeah, work. Although, you know, GCU, the way things are going with Dan this year,
GCU could have a very short stay in Vegas. Man. ASU could have a very short stay in Vegas.
No, I know. Tonight, like, we'll talk about ASU and U of A on the other side because they play tonight at the Oregon schools. We'll get to that and much more. All of our content, by the way, is up on the website at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com, the television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 59 airings this month. 59. That's a lot. And it's good stuff. Heard from lots of you that you like seeing the show and what it's all about. Check it out on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, back after this timeout. So last Saturday night, Eric and I were in Tucson, and we watched just an awful basketball game between Arizona State and Arizona. And the thing is, I try to give patience in building programs, and I'm not one to sit here and say, coaching changes are in order. That's not what I'm going to say in this segment. I do think there is some concern about where the basketball future of Arizona State lies in regards to the building. The building, okay? Please read my lips. I don't want to hear the Brad said Bobby's in trouble. No, Bobby's not in trouble. ASU's in trouble with Bobby is what I'm thinking and seeing. Because I am hearing that the facility that some people, I don't know how this happens, some people think Wells Fargo, the former Wells Fargo Arena, the now Desert Financial Arena, is good. It's not. It's a dump. Okay? It has a nice title sponsor, and there's some fresh coat of paint that's put on it. But it is outdated. It is way too large. It's the same people that thought that Frank Cush Field should never be renovated, and that was a dump. And now it is beautiful. It is pristine. It is something that people can be proud of and can go to with other events that they're going to have there. And so I go watch ASU basketball, and Romello White gets in foul trouble 27 seconds into the game. Picks up his first. starts to play a little timid. U of A throws three big guys at him. They throw Najee, they throw Jeter, and they throw some other guys at him. And you could just see what was going to happen. And the avalanche started, and ASU's trying to hit threes, and they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They missed their first six free throws, and then they get blown out at U of A. So tonight, because of all that, they go to Oregon State. Oregon State, having done games at Oregon State, it's like going to Chandler High School. It's like going to whatever high school has a bit of a barn feel to it. That's where they're going to be tonight at Oregon State. Very nice people. There's an enormous Dutch Brothers right across the street from Oregon State's arena, which to me is about the only good thing going on there. That's not an easy place to play. Oregon is ranked sixth. They play U of A tonight. I don't want to put like a level of importance on a game, but I'm going to. If ASU starts out 0-2 tonight, and then they've got to go down to Oregon, they're probably going to be coming home 0-3 right out of the gate in the conference. And that's, and I know that there's the, well, you know, we had the Kansas game here and we beat Kansas. Yeah, it was a struggle to sell out the Kansas game. The arena is too big. It is old. They don't bring players in there and recruit to that arena. They bring them over to the practice facility, which has got to be about 10 years old, too, the practice facility.
It's very nice.
It is very nice.
It's very nice.
But even then, that's got some years on it already.
Is it impossible, Brad? Because I agree with you on Wells Fargo. People do think it's a great place to see a game. And it's
just not.
It's fine. There's nothing. It's like vanilla ice cream. It's okay. I don't think it's a complete dump.
You and I
have been to the bowels of McHale Center, and it's no picnic down there.
No, that place is
Horrible bathrooms, narrow hallways. Could ASU...
Teachers' offices on the same
exactly.
level as... And parents or fans the other night having to stand in line to use restrooms that are meant for the faculty or the coaches. Like, and they're out the door.
It's funny.
Just like, come
on. And you're not lying. That's all true.
No, it is.
Could ASU basketball follow the same model that ASU football did when it comes to making the stadium smaller? Like, instead of having the really, really high upper deck, couldn't they just put, like, suites up there or something and lower the seating capacity and just make it nicer? I know that's a huge undertaking.
Well, here's my thing on it. The short answer is, of course they could. The longer answer is, who's going to pay for it? So for all the people that were negative on Todd Graham, and gosh knows I was at the front of the line when it came to what was happening on the field.
Yep.
What was happening on things like taking a boom copter around town, which is just silly, and not getting local kids. All that nonsense. The other side of it is Todd Graham did terrific, terrific work in the way of fundraising. In fact, he over-delivered for ASU.
All the new facilities point in Todd Graham's direction.
Now,
all of them.
There are some that will tell me, that have said to me, yeah, well, you don't know the whole story in terms of how it was all funded and how he's going to use some of his money. I don't need to know that. I saw him at enough events, shaking enough hands and kissing enough babies. I don't know who can do that for basketball. That's not Bobby's deal. Like, Bobby's got a son over, he's got a son here in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's paying attention to his son in high school. He's got other kids too. He's trying to coach. He's trying to recruit.
And the team is just, I think Kent said it best on Monday, Kent Summers, when he was in. It's just.
It's there.
It's mismatched. There's just something missing on this ASU team.
I would play Jalen more. I'm a fan of Jalen House, and it's nothing against Remy. It's just when I see Remy on the floor, he's a fine player.
He's a very good player.
He's a fine player.
He's a very good player. Come on, let's call it as we see it.
He's a fine player.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree.
So
he's one of the best guards on the West Coast, but okay, continue.
Okay, so he's a fine player that, in my opinion, should be.
Oh, these are fun.
Should be at the two.
Oh, he could be at the two.
And Jalen should be running the show, and Rob Edwards then gets moved. Verge, I don't know. There's a little bit about Verge of pounding nails, in my opinion. A
little bit.
Ball gets to him. Pound, 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 shoot. Okay? He's not Carmelo Anthony, but that's what Carmelo Anthony's done forever, is pound nails. So it is mismatched.
And Cherry is just Cherry's like, he's
going to be a transfer on that one.
He's the wild card of the group for sure.
I don't even, if he lived up to his potential.
We should have seen it by now, right?
Exactly. you win. Ding, ding. So we're sitting here in a year and a half into the Cherry regime. And so you go back to where ASU was last March and you look at where they are right now and going into tonight's game at Oregon State.
Total trap game, like you said.
Oregon State's
not great, but it's just a tough place to play.
It's a tough place to play. You just got whacked by U of A. I mean whacked.
Yep.
And so you just kind of feel like, look, if you win there and you get a split on the road, that's the whole deal in the Pac-12. Just split your road games. You start out 0-3 on the road, and then you come home, and the pressure, and you're not going to have fans in the stands. That's just a fact. I don't want to hear this. You know, we got to come up with some little thing like the Herm train. At least Herm is normal about that nonsense. He's just like, yeah, you guys didn't see the 4 weeks we lost games in the hype video. Bobby's just in a spot where, okay, is this as good as it's going to get? Are they ever going to come through on this building? And it sounds to me in the last few weeks like they're not. So then what? And the same with hockey. What's going to happen with the hockey building? Because hockey's doing well.
Yeah, the Oregon schools, Brad, by the way, are undefeated this year at home in basketball.
Yeah.
Both of them combined. They're 15-0.
So
I looked that up. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
But you know, in the other game tonight that I want to watch is Gonzaga. They're ranked number one. They play at San Diego. That's never an easy place for them to go to. USD's okay. You know, San Diego State's undefeated.
They're very good.
Former voice of the play-by-play guy of San Diego State basketball. My color analyst was the late Tony Gwynn.
They're ranked seventh, I believe.
That program to be doing that and Fisher for all these years, I'm pretty proud of. I didn't go there, but, you know, their uniforms are from a swap meet in Santee. But, but you know, it's still fun to watch. But I'm into college basketball, and so that is tonight. All right, on the other side, Coyotes are in action. Some coaching news, too. If you have other things on my mind, that is next. Right, a couple other things before we get out of here, and that is the Coyotes play tonight at Tampa Bay. The Coyotes have 31 road points. That's the second most in the NHL. We have talked here as a company about the Coyotes and how they fit in. If you're a die-hard Coyote fan, you're already watching, you're already paying attention, and there's not been a lot of you. Please don't take that personal. That's just a fact, okay? As the team has gotten better and as the team has gotten turned around, there are starting to be butts in seats. There are starting to be TVs that are turned in to watch the Coyote games. Eric and I have been talking about getting out there. Now that a freeway where I live, it took me an hour and 15 minutes to get from my door to a Coyotes game. That's not happening on a Tuesday night in traffic. No offense. I can sit at home and watch and do my thing and come here and talk about it. Now there's a new freeway out where I live, and it took me 25 minutes, when I think was door-to-door. So they play at Tampa Bay, but they're home to Pittsburgh on Sunday night. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I would like to make it. I'd like to get out there and see them. I think being part of that whole environment is something that, as a company, I would like to see a little bit more because they're going to make the playoffs. If you're not going to be a team that is going to compete, then I'm not going to say, okay, let's send resources out there to cover a team that's lousy that nobody's really paying attention to. Is that bad of me, Eric? Should I be like more, I just think we're at that point. I can pick my spots. We can pick our spots.
You're the boss. You make the rules.
If the Suns stink, why would I say go down there and have Monty Williams, you know, because that happens in TV newsrooms. They'll just say, yeah, we need to go down and do something on the Suns. So you go down once, you get a soundbite from Monty Williams saying, we're trying to get better. You go over to Ricky Rubio. Yeah, it's been frustrating. You go to DeAndre Ayton. I don't want to talk. You go over to Kelly Oubre. Yeah, everybody's here trying to stick together. We're all positive. It's all going to go in the right direction. And then you wake up and you're 13 and whatever they are.
Right.
Right? So
the biggest intrigue will be around the NBA Finals Game 3. When the Suns are back in the lottery and it's, what pick will the Suns get? That will be...
Do you think they're out already?
I think they're out. I think they're out.
I think they're two back right now. So
I just think you have to beat the bad teams if you want to make a difference. And that loss to the Kings was just...
Well, that's not where season gets decided, though.
No, but again, like, we wanted to see improvement. And this team has... went from promising at the beginning of the year to not very good and not much of a different script than we've seen the last few
years.
When
they do the post-game show and it's with Tom Leander and Tom Chambers and they have the fans outside and there's like 10 of them and it's the same 10, or you hear them chant, "Let's go Suns," because somebody behind the scenes is saying, "Come on, come on."
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't really get caught up in all that. I just love to see this team win because I've lived here my whole life. This is a Suns town. It'll always be a Suns town. If anybody wants to go out in the parking lot and fight about it with me, I'll be happy to.
But wow.
If you've lived here long enough, it's a Suns town. You've lived here long enough, and I'm sure you would concur, this is a Suns town.
Do you think Nico is – we watched him the other night. He was hurt, got hurt.
Yeah.
The whole idea that he's a one and done, the whole notion of he could come here and be with the Suns, the whole deal.
Well, Sean Miller basically said the other day in his press conference, we're going to lose Nico.
Yeah.
So clearly Nico does not plan on staying more than a year, maybe two at U of A.
Okay, so, but if it's this year, do you tank? Do you start pulling back? Do you say, you know what, we're almost there? Or, as I said earlier, Devin Booker at some point is going to say, get me the heck out of here. And do you make a decision of, you know, we could go get three or four assets for Devin Booker?
I think that's the better option because I have no idea where Nico Mannion would get drafted if he came out. He's had a good season. I don't think he's had a great season.
He had a good start.
He's shown some flashes of the Nico Mannion we saw at Pinnacle, and he's shown some flashes of, okay, I'm playing against really, really good basketball players every night, and I'm a freshman.
Well, like tonight. He's going against Peyton Pritchard.
That's
going
to be that.
And
I mean,
I
tonight is
that.
That's going to be a
watch.
Great game. It's going to be. It's just going to be.
And it's
U of A's playing well now. And
it's seven. It's a 7 p.m. tip.
And
so Peyton
Oregon
Pritchard,
is
Nico Mannion,
a top 10 team. They're really good. They won at Michigan. So
yeah. See, we sit here and it's not like guys. We don't like what's going on in sports. We just don't like teams that stink repeatedly or have issues all over the place or can't get it figured out. Like the price of admission tonight to watch Zeke Nnaji, Nico Mannion, and others go up against Oregon, I am there. I am making appointment viewing tonight. I mean, I will make appointment viewing for the end of the Coyotes game. I'm not going to sit there and burn 5 hours tonight.
Those three freshmen at U of A, Nnaji, Josh Green, and Nico Mannion, are just exceptional.
No, they're
all
great.
They're phenomenal.
Fun. They're fun.
They're fun.
They're fun. Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, ESPNU, ASU, 9 p.m. at Oregon State. I'm not feeling that.
Oh, I'm going to watch it because I never get to watch
AC
basketball.
That's a DVR opportunity.
Because they're usually on the conference network. So
which you don't get.
I do not get.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, would you consider this past Cardinals season fun? I would.
Well, you just threw that out of left field.
We're talking about teams that aren't winning, but think back to a year ago.
The Browns game was not fun.
Why? They won. I would say the Rams game at home was not fun.
They were destroyed.
They were a complete no-show. But
Browns game was much. The Steelers game was not fun. It was fun to watch. It was like, wow, look at that. That's a Steelers.
But I'm
convention.
Intrigued, and that's half the battle. I'm intrigued.
Well, you're intrigued because the quarterback's intriguing.
Yeah, and I just think that Cliff showed some people that he's capable. I mean, it wasn't
Steve Wilkes.
I think he gets an incomplete this year. I think there's
really. I'd give him a little bit more than
maybe.
That.
Maybe that was
a little
harsh.
Bit more than that.
That was a little harsh. I just think that there's okay. There. Are there flaws? Of course. But at least there's a blueprint in place of, all right, I can kind of see where they're going with this. Last year, it was a complete train wreck. They went 3-13. They sucked. Like, that's the only way you can say.
Yeah. No, I think, and this is a good show to do this on. My point on this show today has been, not that every day I have to have a point, but we're just in this space where so Steve Keim's not getting fired. The Cardinals were interesting. Cliff's going to be back. David Johnson getting blown out of here is probably the Fitz is going to return. So David Johnson is like the front, and Patrick Peterson is the front two burner stories.
Yep.
Neither one of those is going to get solved until the NFL calendar starts in mid-March. So there's that.
Conveniently placed at the start of March Madness.
Yeah. Madison Bumgarner is going to walk out onto Talking Stick. And people are going to get excited.
Uh-huh.
And they should.
Sure.
And so that's going to be fun. But that's a month away. Okay? The racetrack is going to be big this year because we have the championship race in November. So Phoenix Raceway is going to be a destination point. They've got a race the early part of March. There's going to be fans that show up there, but there's also spring training going on, mixed bag, all that. So I'm getting at is the Coyotes still have to get through their season. They're not going to miss the playoffs. I'm looking at the Suns and just saying, okay, this really is going to come down to Devin. And then I think Bobby Hurley, Dan Marley, I will not be surprised if both coaches aren't there next year on their own accord, the way things are going. And so it's just that space where you look around the Valley landscape and how do you solve what's going on with GCU? They had ineligible players, they had injuries. They're not good, and they're losing to teams they just shouldn't lose to. And ASU just looks like a team that we go up there to the Pac-12 tournament, they'll play in a Wednesday game, and they'll slug it out 49-48. It'll go one way or the other, and then the next night they'll get crushed. And the way U of A looks, if they're healthy, that's a team that could play all the way through till and meet Oregon on Saturday. We're just sitting here right now noodling on stuff that's going on in the Valley. All right, Devin Henry is our chairman of the board today. I almost called him Devin Booker. And you don't shoot as well as Devin Booker. You play some defense, though. Well, he plays defense when he wants to. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything. Jordan Hamm came on by as well. We are self-funded. That means when you see these commercial breaks, those people believe in what we do, and they sponsor us day in and day out. Have yourself a great day.